Amen. All right, Jonah chapter number 1 in our Bibles this morning. And notice there in Jonah chapter number 1. Appreciate you ladies singing that. Jonah chapter number 1. Is that you, Brother Dwayne? You guys awake this morning? Like I told everybody in Sunday school, I compromised today. I had 2 cups of Starbucks coffee, and I'm still not there yet. So if I preach slow this morning, and that's the reason why, okay? And it's a Starbucks. We'll blame him there. Jonah chapter number 1. And we started last week going through the book of Jonah. And to begin our series through the life of Jonah. Really just a wonderful story and a true story, by the way. My dad texted me this morning. He said, "What are you preaching on?" And I said, "Preaching, you know, Jonah, the second part of Jonah chapter number 1. And he said, "You know, he said, you realize there's some people that believe that Jonah was not a real story. It's not a real book. But I'm thankful this morning that we know it's the Word of God, and we know that it's true. And Jesus referenced it when he talked about one day he was going to go to the cross, and like as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so the Lord would be in the grave for 3 days, then he would rise again. And just going through it verse by verse. But notice there in verse number 4 of Jonah chapter number 1." The Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten unto them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. They said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence camest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this thing? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then look down in verse number 15. It says, So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows." Father, I pray this morning you'd use your word in our hearts to challenge us. Father, I pray this morning that we would obey you. May we not be like Jonah running. But Lord, whatever area in our life we need to submit to you, I pray that we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we think about the story of Jonah, of course, last week we talked about Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1 through 3, how the Lord told Jonah to do something. God said, Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to preach to the people there in Nineveh. Jonah was a preacher of the Word of God. The Bible calls him a prophet. He was a man that would stand up and he would declare not his opinions, not his own thoughts, or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, but he would preach the Word of God. And so God said to a preacher, here's what I want you to do. Go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh. Remember, Nineveh was over in Iran, Iraq, that area. He decided to run towards Spain. He hopped on that ship going to Tarshish, fleeing in the opposite direction of the will of God. And so Jonah hops on that ship. He pays the full fare. Man, he's heading down out of the will of God. And the Bible says here in verse number 4 that all of a sudden God sends a storm into Jonah's life. And I wonder this morning, friend, what are you going to do when God deals with you? Are you going to harden your heart to the will of God? Are you going to say no to God's chastening hand? The Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth heart is a dangerous thing. And when we say no to God, or when we say no to his Holy Spirit, it's a dangerous position to be in as a believer. The Bible says that we're not to quench the Holy Spirit of God, but instead we are to let God have his way and will in our hearts. And yet the reality is here, Jonah is running from God. Would you notice here in verse number 4, would you notice here in Jonah on the run part 2, notice how God sends the storm. It says in verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. I see first of all the storm. God sent the storm. Notice the adjectives that the Lord Jesus, he says, it's a great wind, and there's a mighty tempest in the sea. I find it amazing the description that God gives of the storm.
I think it's amazing how God describes what took place in Jonah's life. Hey, let me ask you this morning, how are you responding to the storms God sends your way? This was Jonah's fault. This was a decision Jonah made, and God brings a swift, chastening hand upon Jonah's life. And I find it ironic in our lives so many times when God does that in our lives, so many times we refuse to immediately respond to God. We refuse. You know, I think about my kids. Man, there's times when they do wrong, and I've got to deal with them, and they don't respond right away. And that's how it is sometimes in our lives. When God deals with us, sometimes we sit back and we refuse to soften our hearts to the Savior. There's Jonah in that boat. I think about how it says the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. I think about this past week, there was the announcement of two hurricanes coming up the Gulf Coast, and then there was one in the Atlantic Ocean, and I think about how that was in the news. And I remember back, those of you from Mobile, I remember when 2005 when Katrina came through. I think Katrina got you guys real good. And I think about that time. We remember we talk about the hurricanes. You know, there's a certain hurricane season. And usually it's from the beginning of August through November is when the storms are expected to hit. And those that were in the sailing business in the days of Jonah, in the days of Jesus, in the days of Paul, they knew those certain seasons. And so being aware of that, they would make sure that they wouldn't be out in the open sea, but instead they would be closer to shore. And yet here these men are going across that Mediterranean Sea, and what happens in an unexpected season, God sends a storm. And that's exactly how God works in our lives many times. Many times, God will deal with us in a wonderful way to try to get a hold of our lives. So we see the storm. We see why did God send the storm. Notice in verse number 5. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten unto them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Why did God send the storm? Why does God chasten us? Why does God not let you have your way in your life? Why does God deal with us as a father deals with a child? Because I think, first of all, there were some things that needed to be cast overboard. You see, these men, they were on their way, they were sailing. What do? Man, that storm kicks up, and what do they do with those goods? Man, they throw everything overboard. Why? Because they wanted to lighten the ship. Man, they wanted to make sure the ship was going to survive the storm. They wanted to make sure that, man, we're going to live to see our family. We want to make sure that whatever weights may be in our lives, they're out of our ship so that way we can make it to that safe harbor. Hey, sometimes God will send storms in your life to make us look at our lives and examine what really needs to be there. I wonder this morning, what things in your life do you need to cast overboard? I wonder what is holding you back from living a more fuller and a more godly life. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We need to cast it overboard. We need to get rid of it. We don't need to hang on to it. We don't need to, you know, attach it to the fishing line and pretend like everything's fine on Sunday morning, and then Monday morning we pull it back up and again relive that sin that we just gave up in church. No, we need to cast it overboard and let it sink to the bottom of the sea. Sometimes God will send storms in our lives to get things out of our life that don't need to be there. Hey, God was judging the whole ship because of the sin of one man. You realize that? Man, you were innocent sailors. Here were men that just were, you know, earning a paycheck. And what happened because of their Jonah's disobedience, man, God allowed these men to suffer. Can I say, Dad, Mom, your sin affects others. Church member, your disobedience not only affects your life, but you know, you could be hindering God working and moving in this church. I was talking to a pastor this past week. We were just talking about church and about the Holy Spirit working in church. And I said, you know, it's been amazing how God has just worked here in our church. And I don't know if you get the sense of this in our, but I sense God moving here. And I think about when the preaching takes place, how God just seems to work, decisions are made, and how God is allowing us to see people saved, and the church is just experiencing the touch of God. You know, that's not normal for a lot of churches, man, they're not experiencing that. But you know what I don't want? I don't want God to turn the spigot off. Man, God's blessing is upon us. Man, God's moving. God is working. But I tell you what, I don't want my sin to hinder a revival. I don't want my running from God to hinder God moving and working in this church. And church member, let me just say, you could be the one that hinders revival. Oh, that we would not stand in the way of God working. Oh, that we would be vessels sanctified and meet for the master's use. Oh, that we would get rid of sin in our life, and that we would run the race that God has set before us with patience, not weighed down by the cares and concerns of this world. Why did God send the storm in Jonah's life? To cast, get some things out that needed to be cast out. It says, lay aside every weight in the sin which does so easily beset us. Not only that, but look in verse number 6, or verse number 5, it says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Why did God send the storm? Not only to get some things out of the ship and out of the lives that not be there, but number 2, to awaken the backslidden Christian. Let me say this morning, you can be away from God and still sleep good. I've heard some people say, well, you know, when their testimony, I was running from God, and man, I'd go to bed at night, and that's, boy, I'd just be under deep conviction. I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, couldn't do anything because I was away from God. Listen, you can be away from God, sleep soundly. You can be away from God, sing kumbaya, and have a smile on your face. Hey, that's what Jonah was. Man, he's in the side of the ship. Man, he's got his blankie right next to his chin. Hey, he's got that pasty in his head. He's got his nightcap on. Man, he's got his PJs on. Hey, he's sound asleep. He's snoring away while the storm is raging all out. You can become dull to your surroundings because of your sin. You can become used to it. I think about loud noises. I mentioned in Sunday school, I worked at a concrete factory. And during the summer, I found myself, in the beginning of the summer, man, they would have that loud alarm that would go off if the ovens were overheated, or, boy, there was something wrong with that. Man, it went off all the time. Because there was always problems at that factory. Man, problems take place. It's like that alarm would go off every 10 minutes. By the end of the summer, I got used to that alarm. Why? I became dull. Why? Because it wasn't an alarm. It wasn't awakening me like it ought to. You can be asleep out of the will of God, running from God like Jonah was. He's out. He's sleeping. He's snoring away. And God sent the storm. Why? Because to awaken Jonah. Let me say this morning, you can be out of the will of God, running from God, and pretend like everything's fine, but God will send a storm into your life to awaken you. I think about our friend up in Indiana. He was a youth pastor, running from God, away from God. I preached at the church about a year and a half ago, and went out for ice cream with this friend. He's a friend of mine, and yet he was committed adultery and wicked. And God took his little baby. He was riding a little scooter with his little, probably 1.5-year-old baby. And running from God. He knew he was out of the will of God, running from God. And on that scooter, his baby fell off, and his baby ended up dying. And I remember just talking to Tim, and just, boy, all the things that unfolded after that. But you know what? Tim had gotten to a place in his life where he wasn't responding to God. He knew he was doing wrong. He was living in sin, and he was dull to the chastening hand of God. You know what God had to do? God had to really deal with him. God had to really chasten him. God had to really spank him in just a powerful way to get a hold of his life. Hey, Jonah was fast asleep. Why did God send the storm? Because he had grown dull to the wind that was blowing. Hey, the lightning didn't faze him any longer. The thunder, man, just rocked him to sleep a little bit longer. I wonder, are you going to continue to dull your spirit to the will and the word of God for your life? Why did God send the storm to awaken his children, to cast some things out? But verse number 7 and verse number 8, he did it to rebuke the backslidden. He said, and they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Why did God send the storm to rebuke Jonah? What did the shipmaster say to Jonah? Hey, wake up, man. Call upon your God. By the way, it's capital G-O-D. It's not a little God. It's not the moon and the stars and the sun and the sea. But no, it was Jehovah God. Hey, Jonah, wake up. And what did that shipmaster do? He awoke that backslidden Christian. Hey, wake up, man. You realize what's going on? Sometimes God will send storms in our life to stir us up, to wake us up. I wonder, this morning, what are you going to do when the storms of life come into your life? So we see, number 1, God sent the storm. But notice, second of all, this morning, how Jonah continues to sit in sin. Jonah continues to sit in sin. What did Jonah do? He says in verse number 9, and he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Jonah, you're a preacher of God's word. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jehovah God. How are you going to respond? What does Jonah do? Jonah continues to sit as a rebellious Christian. I wonder today, are you going to continue to live that lifestyle away from God? Are you going to continue to run from God? And you say, well, Pastor, nobody knows about my sin. Hey, nobody knew about Jonah's sin. Hey, Jonah hopped on that boat and just went in that side of the ship, lay and was fast asleep. Nobody was bothering him. Jonah played the game just fine. He was a wonderful passenger. And that may be you this morning. Boy, on the out exterior, you're wonderful. But on the interior, boy, there's some things that need to be dealt with. I think about my brother-in-law, Derek. He had a job a couple weeks ago. He got a phone call, and somebody asked him. He said, "Would you go over and fix this back porch?" The back porch was the tenant at the house said, "When I step on it," she said, "it's like I'm on a trampoline up and down." She said, "It's real bad. It needs to be replaced." So Derek got a phone call. "Can you come and fix the porch?" Man, he told me, he said, "I went back there," and he said, "I started to rip apart the flooring." Man, I walked in, it looked like a normal porch. It looked like a normal back porch, and everything was fine. He said, "But I started to peel everything back." He said, "Man, it was rotted all over the place. Man, the joists, they were rotted out. The corner of the house was rotted out." He said, "I had to jack the house up." He said, "I had to put new beams in." Why? Because on the exterior, it looked fine. But on the interior, there was rot and there was decay that was taking place. That's the case in many of our lives today. We look good. We got the siding on. We've got the walls on, but the inside is where it needs to be dealt with. Jonah was fast asleep running from God. And God sent the storm to wake him up. And yet, there Jonah continues to sit in sin. I mean, about the story of King Saul. King Saul rebelled against God. Samuel the prophet told Saul, "It's my job to bring those sacrifices to God." And what did Saul do? Instead of waiting on Samuel, the man of God, instead, he offered that burnt sacrifice. And Samuel, the man of God, said to Saul, the king, he said, "For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry." Jonah sat in rebellion. He was unmoved by the souls of the sailors. Understand this morning, you can run from God, you can be away from God, and you become dull and unresponsive toward lost individuals. Hey, just where Jonah was at, here's a preacher. Here's a man of God that was unmoved by the lost souls. Can I ask you this morning, have you grown cold and indifferent toward your lost co-workers because of your sin? Your backslidden state? Have you lost a passion and the burden to win your family for Jesus Christ? Hey, are you at a place where you don't see the multitudes and you're moved with compassion? Why did Jonah get his eyes off the souls and consume himself because he was running from God? You run from God, you mark it down. You won't have that soul winning passion. You run from God, you won't have a care about what people think about you and your God. You run from God, you would rather live for your sin than live for the Savior. And you don't care what the collateral damage is. That's exactly what took place in the life of Jonah. Your sin will affect others. Then forget it. Probably 8 years ago, I got a phone call from Pastor Bill Cole. He was my pastor when I was in Bible college. He said, "Steve," he said, "did you hear about Johnny?" Back up probably 15 years ago now. Johnny was saved through the ministry of Bible Baptist Church there in Simpsonville, through the bus ministry. And man, buses would come, and they'd pick Johnny and his brothers and sisters up for church. And they went to Bible Baptist Church and started to plug away there at the church. Man, God was using the church in Johnny's life. Johnny got saved and got involved in the youth group, had a really vibrant, growing youth group at that time. And it wasn't long after I started to work there, started to go there, that talking to Johnny, Johnny surrendered to the call of God upon his life to preach the gospel. Johnny got on fire for God. I'm talking about making an impact in this public school. I'm talking about making an impact in his family in Simpsonville, South Carolina, doing some wonderful things for God. Johnny went off to Bible college up in New York City on Long Island. Man, was doing well. I preached at the college he was going to. Was fired up, working for God. Well, while Johnny was away at Bible college, the youth pastor at the church got disgruntled. Got angry with the pastor and said to the pastor, he said, "Pastor Cole," he said, "I'm done with the church." He said, "I'm done with you as my pastor." He left the church. And as he left the church, he called the youth group up. All the kids that were in the youth group said, "You don't need to continue going there. Come to my church and follow me." He called Johnny up at Bible College and said, Johnny, you don't need to go there. Follow me. Johnny listened to that advice and dropped out of Bible Baptist Church. When he got back home, he went to the other church. It wasn't long before Johnny became cold and indifferent toward the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word. And before long, he stopped going to church. A Bible College student, like Jonah, we could say. Johnny was hiking with some friends of his in some waterfalls. They were at the top of the waterfall, 20 years old, floating around. Here's a preacher. Johnny, Bible College student, slips at the top of the waterfalls, falls over the cliffs, and he's crushed to death at the bottom of the falls. Pastor Cole and I were talking. Pastor Cole said, you know why Johnny's dead, right? He said, because of a backslidden youth pastor that got his eyes off of souls, and he got his eyes focused upon his sin. You know, that stuck with me. That has stuck, because you know what? I can live in sin, but you know what? It's going to affect my kids. It's going to affect this church. It's going to affect my marriage. It's going to affect everything I do. You can live in sin like Jonah did, be unconcerned about souls, but there is a heavy price tag to pay for your disobedience. I wonder this morning, are you going to continue to sit in your sin? Or will you be broken over it? We see how he was unmoved by the souls of the sailors. He didn't tell them about God. They said in verse number 9, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? He didn't tell me he was a preacher. That's how we are when we run from God. When you're drinking alcohol, involved in wrong relationships, telling the dirty jokes. Man, you don't want people to know you go to church. Hey, you just rather slide by and lack of identity. That's what Jonah said. He didn't tell him about his God. He didn't tell him about his the call of God upon his life. He said, what is thine occupation? From whence comest thou? Didn't tell him about his country. Didn't tell him where they were going. No, he just flew on by unconcerned about the souls of those sailors. I wonder, will you allow your sin to move you to that place where you're unmoved by the souls of others? We see he was unmoved by the souls of sailors. Number two, he was unconcerned about the Savior he served. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto them, notice this, I am, notice, in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Remember when we preached about Joseph, that we maybe 6 months ago we talked about Joseph, how really, he was the grandson of Abraham. And we went back really and started to look at Abraham's life. Remember Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham was in Hebrew. Remember in Hebrew, Hebrew was different than all the other people of the land. And a Hebrew was one that worshipped Jehovah God. The folks, all the nations that surrounded Israel, surrounded Jerusalem, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, all the Ites, all those other heathen, the Egyptians, then they all worshiped, they had multiple gods. The moon, the river, the Nile River, the Mediterranean Sea, the stars. I mean, they're worshiping a plethora of gods. The Hebrews, the Israelites, they had one God that they worshiped, Jehovah God. Hey, Jonah, who are you? What are you doing here? Jonah, you're running from who? He said, I want you to know, here's my identity. I am in Hebrew. What was he saying? Hey, you guys on the ship, you sailors, you're crying out to all your gods. You're crying out to the storm god, the thunder god, the lightning god, the sea god, the wave god, all these gods. Hey, he said, I want you to know something. I'm not praying to these gods. I'm praying to my Jehovah God. I'm in Hebrew. I'm set apart to God. Hey, what was Jonah in his running from God in his sin? He was unconcerned about the God he served. Boy, I'll tell you what a sad place to be. What a sad place to be, to not be concerned about the Savior that you serve, to come to a place where your sin is more important than your Savior, the one that died on the cross for you and shed his precious blood so that way you could have your sins forgiven. Your sin is more important than the Savior that you love and you ought to serve. He was unmoved as he sits in sin by the souls of the sailor. He's unconcerned about the Savior he serves. But notice in verse number 12, it says, or verse number 11, it says, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. Notice thirdly how he was unwilling to splash into the sea. You see what Jonah said to those guys? He said, listen, you want the storm to go away? He said, pick me up and throw me overboard. Jonah wouldn't even get off his seat. He wouldn't get off of his bench and just go jump in the sea. What was he? He was stubborn. He was indifferent. He was cold. He didn't care about what everybody else, their souls and their families and their eternity. He was just sitting unconcerned in his sin. I wonder this morning, is that where you're at? You could care less. You could care less. What a hardened state to be in. What a bad place to be in as he continued to sit in disobedience. Proverbs 29 verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed in that and yet without remedy. You run from God in your sin, you understand that God's going to deal with you in a swift and an immediate way. We see, number one, God sent the storm. Number two, we saw that Jonah sat in his sin. But notice lastly here in this story, notice how Jonah swims because of his sin. Look in verse number 15. It says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Notice the punishment here. What happened? They picked Jonah up, and plop, they threw him overboard. Hey, I wonder this morning, what's it going to take for God to get a hold of you? What's it going to take for God to chasten you, to get you to that place where you yield to Him? What's it going to take? What does God have to do in your life to break you down? Because the reality is, God is looking for you and He's looking for me to have a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, Thou will not despise. Jonah, what are you going to do? What did he decide? He decided to sit there, and they had to come, they picked him up, they threw him overboard. When he hit that water, man, that sea became crystal clear, calm, peaceful, that the sailors sailed away. Hey, the story, you know, for those sailors, they could go back and tell everybody what happened that day. But you know, the sad reality is there's some this morning. God's been working on you. God's been dealing with you. And yet you are still unresponsive to Him. You know, I could tell you story after story. People that suffered great loss because of their sin and their unwillingness to respond to God. Do you want to be one of those stories? Do you want to be one of those Jonas? Do you want to have that, well, God was dealing with me about my pornography and I wouldn't get that right, and so, you know, hey, now look at my life. God had to do this. God was dealing with my heart about this issue, this one thing, and I refused to yield that issue, and God had to send this storm. And I'm talking about, man, I know folks right now that they're missing limbs. I know guys right now that are suffering physically greatly because of their sin and their disobedience. I know some that have lost family members, lost spouses, lost kids because of their rebellion. Hey, you mess with sin, understand there's a heavy price tag to pay for that disobedience. I wonder this morning, are you going to continue to sin? Are you going to continue? The Bible says, what then shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The choice, though, is yours. And the choice is mine. I wonder this morning, are you like Jonah? Are you on the run? Are you running from the will of God? Has God been dealing with you? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no way, God. I'm going the opposite direction. God sent the storm to shake him, to break him. And yet he continues to sit there away from God. I wonder this morning, what are you going to do, child of God, with your sin? Are you going to be broken over it? Or are you going to harden your heart and say just one more time in disobedience to the Savior? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. I hope this morning that instead of leaving on the run, you leave submitted and surrender to the Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I preach what you gave me. Lord, somebody is here that's running from you. Or maybe it's an area of sin in their life. Maybe like Jonah, Lord, maybe you called somebody to preach your word and they're running from the call of God for their life. Lord, I don't know what it is. Maybe you've told somebody, Lord, to witness and stand up for you and they've been running from that. Whatever it may be, Father, I pray today that we would be broken over our sin. Father, I pray that we would be like Peter after he sinned. Lord, may we confess it. May we forsake it. Father, may we find mercy and forgiveness with you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But I wonder how many this morning would say, Pastor Schwenke, I'm like Jonah. I'm on the run. God's dealt with me about some issues. There's some things in my life that I need to get rid of, need to throw overboard. And yet I sit away from God, running from God. And this morning, God has challenged me, convicted me. Man, I need to get right with God. Would you pray for me, Pastor? God spoke to my heart, and I need to respond this morning. That's me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Good. God spoke to my heart. Good. Praise God. Amen. Good.
Who else? Pastor, that's me. God dealt with me this morning. Need to respond. Good. Good. I wonder, lastly, perhaps, would there be one that say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But I need to get that settled this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Not sure I'm saved. Want to get that settled today. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Won't embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I need to get saved this morning. Here's my hand. Well, Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Now help us to be obedient to you. For these that have raised their hand, Lord, let them leave yielded to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. As Christy continues to play that piano, God's spoken to your heart. The altar is open. Let's do business with God this morning. Would you come? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. You need to come and do business with God. Surrender to him. Jonah ran from God. Are you going to continue to run? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. Some have come. How about you today? Would you come? Get along with God. Get that victory.